Next song we haven't done in a little while, and in the middle of COVID, we kind of, not that we like to joke about COVID, but this song that says is that there's a time you may embrace and a time for refraining from embracing, and so we kind of joked about that, because that line in that song, we go, oh yeah, when there's a time to refrain from embracing, but during COVID, we weren't allowed to embrace each other, and now we've opened back up and we can, and you know, we've come out of a season that was surely trying, unlike anything most of us have ever experienced in our generation, and to be locked down and to be frustrated. And certainly within the church, there were times when we were frustrated with the rules and regulations that were seemed to be ever-changing and applied to some people and not applied to other things. And so it became confusing at times for us. But we just really found, and we talked about this during it, especially the praise team and stuff, where we had to come and do praise team with no crowd in front of a video camera, which was very strange, and online. And we just felt like there were times when God just said, you know what, I'm still here. I'm still blessing the church. And when we got back together, there were sure some people that just didn't come for a while and joined us online. But he blessed us in the middle of that with growth. And as you, the ones that were actually here coming, you'll notice there was new people coming all the time during COVID. In the 2 years, we had new people here and new people joining us online and contacting Andrew with questions, and people that he thought he would never talk to about spiritual things, he did, because God was there. He was still in control, still meeting the needs of people, despite the confusion and the frustration that Satan wanted us to kind of live in, right? And this song is called Turn, Turn, Turn. And I don't know if you've been here when we've sang this, but it's probably a song you know, but maybe not have never sung in church. But it's really basically based on Ecclesiastes. And it just basically says there's times for everything. There's a season for things. There's good seasons. There's bad seasons. There's a time to reap and there's a time to sow. And so if you just need to be reminded that God is in control today, and I'm sure you'll know this, so feel free to sing out.
Time to heal, a time to laugh again.
Sure what you need from God this morning, but you know that he's certainly here. He's already come into this place. We've asked him to be here, and I want you to believe that when he comes into a space that he holds the power over anything that's going on in your life, that you just need to surrender to him and allow him to be what you need today. So this is called When You Walk Into the Room.
Walk into the room, everything.
know, I'm sure if we went around the room and gave testimony to how many times God has surprised you, and there's been times that you didn't know where to go or what to do or how you were going to get out of what you were in, but it became very evident that he was bigger than you thought he could ever be. Amen? So let's proclaim that truth this morning with this song. Is worthy this morning, amen. This last song is called Revelation Song. You guys know it, so let's sing it out.
Anyway, welcome to church, guys. We've been working through the Sermon on the Mount, and I hope that you've been challenged by this. I hope that you've kind of taken these words to heart, because again, this is the most important sermon that you'll ever hear, and it's certainly not the one that Andrew brings. It's the one that our Savior brought, right? And Kirtland, last week, he talked about being angry, right? And for some of you, that made you really angry, right? And so you realize, again, this depth in which Jesus taught. And Kirtland kind of mentioned that, this famous phrase that you have heard it said, but I tell you. When Jesus opened with that, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew that it was about to get real, right? That Jesus was about to take their teaching, and he was going to bring it to a different level. And so Jesus says, you've heard it said that you shall not murder, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. And Jesus dug deep. It's kind of one of those interesting things, right? He connected with the heart. And if you hate, Jesus is saying, right? If you hate, you've already got issues. If you hate, you've already committed murder. And Jesus was connecting to the soul. He was digging down a little deeper. He was saying, you know what? You are called to love, so look at the heart, because the heart is what we need to keep on track. It's a little bit like our sign. Like it goes, Jesus went deeper. Our sign out there says this week, others see what you do, God sees why you do it. Right? To look a little deeper. And so this is a passage here we get into stuff. I said, wow, this is going to be controversial. Right? We're getting into this little passage where our culture would say, no, this really doesn't matter. But Jesus says, actually, this matters very, very much. And so if you don't have steel-toed boots on this morning, I would suggest you change out right now before we get started, because some of the things I'm going to say are probably offensive to our culture, and that's okay. Doesn't mean that we don't preach them. Matthew 5, 27 to 37, put on your big boy pants. Here we go. It says, you have heard it said, oh, he's going to get deep. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, well, then cut it off and throw it away, for it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her a victim to adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows that you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Pretty heavy passage. And the reason why we're going to talk about it today is because our culture really doesn't understand this passage at all. In fact, our passage, our culture would say, you know what, we don't agree with this and we don't want you to teach that. Right? It doesn't really matter what the culture thinks. This is what I find as I preach. People are really okay if I preach about somebody else's sin. So, for instance, if I'm talking about the things that Phil struggles with, well, yes, preach to Phil. Phil is an awful man, and he needs to change. That's a long list. I could preach about that forever and never run out of material, eh, Jack? So everybody's okay with me preaching to Phil, but then all of a sudden, when the Word of God addresses our sin, well, that makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? And so Jesus kind of gives the trifecta here. He wants to talk about adultery, he wants to talk about divorce, and he wants to talk about oaths, which would be promises. All linked together, right? Adultery often led to divorce, and it was because people forgot their oaths. So those three kind of come together, right? All big issues in today's culture. Why? They're big issues in today's culture because today's culture doesn't think that sex is sacred. Do you see that? I am so disappointed by women empowerment when they run around a stage acting like anything but ladies and they say, no, that's empowering to us. In our culture, marriage is not binding. In fact, marriage is on the decrease because we all of a sudden came up with this thing called common law. Right? Promises in our culture at best are wishful thinking. And here's the reality, church. You know what? The world may have different standards than God. The world may be hell-bent, but that doesn't mean that the church should follow. Right? The world may be comfortable with sin, but that doesn't mean that the church should be comfortable with sin. So what is sin? Again, I've shared this with you guys 1,000 times. I'll share it with you 1,000 more. My definition of sin is this. Sin is when you're trying to fulfill God-given desires without God. That's when sin takes over. You try to fulfill God-given desires without God, and it always leads to ruin. That's why man left alone will self-destruct, right? But then we try to figure out how we can coexist with sinful acts like moths to the flame. That's the problem with mankind. So what's adultery? Let's go to the defined issues of Jesus' passage this morning. What's adultery defined? It's voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and a person who is not his or her spouse. That's what adultery is defined as. What's divorce? It's defined as the legal dissolution of a marriage by a court. And what is an oath? It's defined as a solemn promise, often involving a divine witness regarding one's future action. Jesus says, right, that when we look at these three issues, you've heard it said, but this is what I'm telling you. Jesus dives right into the deep end, and he's speaking to the crowd, and his teaching is very, very different than that of the temple. He says, you've heard it said, don't voluntarily have sex with people who you are not married to. And that came with good reason. Why? Because if you did, you'd get stoned. Leviticus 20, verse 10, if a man commits adultery with another man, a woman, or another man's wife with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. So there's our background. That's a pretty big issue, right? That's pretty bad, right? And people didn't want to die, yet adultery was still taking place. And so what happened was kind of interesting, that all of a sudden the temple stepped in and they said, you know what, we can give divorce papers. So people who are unsatisfied with their marriage, you can have a way out. You don't necessarily need to die. They wanted to give a legal way for you to get rid of your spouse that was beyond just death, right? They wanted to give a legal system that could trump a divine system. You're unhappy? Well, we can't have that. Let's fix it. And that's sad to me, right? So if your wife added too much salt to the fish, the church said, we won't let her assault you anymore. Here's a certificate of divorce, right? And so people all started to say, okay, I'm unhappy with this issue. I'm unhappy with this issue. I'm unhappy with this part of our marriage. I'm unhappy with that part of our marriage. And well, you know what? I'm unhappy because I didn't see her before I already said yes to this one. And then pretty soon, the church said, you know what? We understand. You're breaking your oaths, and that's not good. So let's come up with a legal system that trumps the divine. You should be happy. After all, you only live once. So Jesus addresses these three issues, adultery, divorce, and oaths, and he says, you know what, you've heard it said, but I tell you that if you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. And you can imagine the crowd, they're saying, hold on, wait a minute. Right? Hold on just one minute. Those are the secret things. Those are the things that we don't talk about. This is when we sneak around behind one another's back and we start to tell lies. And you're not supposed to be talking about those things, Jesus. Jesus says, if you lust, you've already failed. You've already sinned. Jesus gets real personal, doesn't he? Not speaking to the few who had got caught, but speaking to the crowd itself. And he says, again, sin is trying to fulfill God-given desires without God. Do you know, church, that your desires are to be birthed by God? They should be God's and God's alone. And when your desires are not of God, then you know what? Your desires become deadly. James 1, verses 13 and following, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I want you to hear this today, church, this truth. It's never good to negotiate with your desires. Did you hear that? It's never good to negotiate with your desires. And the reason why that is because your desires are not divine. You're flawed. You're human, right? We're infected with this thing called sin, right? But when God births desires within us, we find fulfillment. But less than that, that's when you lose. James says you get drug away. You let your desires run wild and unchecked, right? And those desires that are unchecked and run wild, they will conceive. They will be moved to action. And when those desires are put into action, sin results. And that sin grows. And when that sin's full grown, then guess what? You die. You should never negotiate with your desires. You see, God designed you, right? And again, we know that, church, but there's sometimes, wow, we go, okay, does God really know what's best? Yes, he does. He knows that you long for intimacy. That's the way he made you, right? His design was to give you a glimpse of the wonders and the joy that you would experience in glory. And so he talks about this union between man and a wife in the ultimate metaphor used to speaking of Christ in the church, the bridegroom and the bride. You've heard it 1,000 times. So here's the truth, that it's in Christ we are to find our intimacy. It's in Christ we are to find our satisfaction. It's in Christ we are to be made whole. It's in Christ that we find more carious, this joy, this peace, and this fulfillment. And so it's just a little glimpse of what you are to experience with Jesus. He gives us a gift. This precursor to heaven, he gives us this gift called marriage. And he knew that it wasn't good for man to be alone. Why? Because he designed you, and he designed you with desires. So he gives you something that's sacred, something that's holy, something that is beautiful, and it's called marriage and sex. A God-given desire that should be fulfilled in God's way, and less than that leads to sin. So Jesus shines the spotlight on adultery. And everybody in the crowd probably gets a little uncomfortable, right? This twisting of God's gift, Jesus wants to amplify that. That he says, you have something that's beautiful and sacred and holy, and all of a sudden we try to twist it, and then we have unwanted pregnancies, and we have STDs, and we have lies, and we have deception, and we have secrets, and we have anger, and we have broken hearts, and we have broken families, and the list doesn't end. It just goes on and on to our ruin. And here's the question that I always hear. This is amazing to me, right? This is just me being raw as a pastor. I always get this question. How did this happen? If I could slap everybody who ever said that, oh, it would have felt way better being in ministry. But there would have been a lot of people who got slapped. How did this happen? That's the famous question. It always takes my breath away because the answer is always the same. You want to know how it happened? You left God out of it. The failure rate of relationships that start in adultery is astounding. And why does that surprise anyone? If someone messes around with you, they'll mess around on you. God wants your sexual desire to be more carious. He gave you that gift so that you could be fulfilled his way and his design. In a healthy relationship, think about this. Church, think about this. If you're married today, a healthy relationship will be intimate. It'll be intimate in the spirit, which, wow, what do you mean in the spirit? Think about that. Your relationship should be intimate on a spiritual level. It'll be intimate in desire for one another. I have friends all the time. This always amazes me. They like Facebook and Instagram has given you a window into some people's lives, and sometimes you wish that you just shut the window. I'm amazed at how many of my friends that I grew up with go on vacations without their spouse or their significant other. And I can't help but think, what are they doing wrong? Allison and I like hanging out. Like, we have a desire for one another. That's our intimacy, right? Do you know that a healthy relationship will have intimacy in communication? It'll be intimate in adventure. It'll be intimate in your dreaming, in your passion. And you'd say, what? Wow. Yes, if your relationship is healthy and God-centered, intimacy will be there in every aspect and so much more. So if you're lacking intimacy in your marriage, I want you to know that you're doing it wrong. Here's a passage that you won't hear read most Sundays. I love it. I love it when you get passages like that and everybody goes, I can't believe he said that. No, I didn't. The Word of God said it. 1 Corinthians 7:1-5, it is good for man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Right? So it's good. If you could avoid this, you'll save yourself so much drama, is what they're saying. Right, but let's go on. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife. For each woman with her own husband, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. And in the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. That's a big passage, isn't it? That's a passage that most people don't want to talk about, because that's not politically correct at all, right? Your body, wives, are not yours alone. Did he say that? Your body, men, is not yours alone. You see, our bodies are a gift from God, and they were made to serve one another, fulfilling God's given desire in God's way. And guess what? When we do that with intimacy, it is always wow. Because wow is so much deeper than anything the world understands it to be. And if God designed intimacy for you and I, isn't it make sense that God knows best how to achieve it in all of its depth and glory? But then we step outside of that, and we head for ruin, and Jesus warns us, you know, that our mind and our heart are a big part of our intimacy. It starts with those thoughts, and those thoughts can ruin our heart. And Jesus, he says something astounding. He says, if your eye causes you to stumble, then gouge it out. Can you imagine? I had a friend who used to do this skit. His name was Kevin Mack, and he would get a little milk creamer. And he would talk about this verse, and then he would pretend he was having trouble, and then he would, you didn't know he had the milk creamer, and then he would grab a spoon, and he'd go to his eye, and then all of a sudden the milk would squirt out, and everybody go, ah, right? And I go, and that's a horrifying skit. Please don't ever do that with my teens, right? If your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Get to heaven, even if it's in pieces, Jesus is saying. Like, was he really advocating that we get some cleavers and start cutting off hands? He was saying that the kingdom is really that important. You see, church, the kingdom doesn't exist without God. And Jesus was saying, don't you dare let anything keep you from the Heavenly Father, because he is the kingdom. It's his presence where we are complete. It's his presence where we are made whole. Don't settle for anything less. You know, the horror of hell is not the gnashing of teeth in the fire. The horror of hell is the absence of the Heavenly Father for whom you were made. And Jesus doesn't want us to miss the danger here. He says our soul is too precious. He knew that it would cost him too much. He shows us that adultery rejects God. Divorce rejects God. Lies reject God. Don't lust after substitutes. Don't throw away the sacred bond. Don't break your oaths. Mean what you mean. Say what you mean. And if the children of God, if we don't settle for less, guess what? Jesus is greater than everything. If he came to fulfill the law, Jesus becomes greater than everything. Even you. Even you. So here's another statement that makes me mad and gets under my skin as bad as, how did this happen? Right? This is the other one. And I heard it this week, but we just want them to be happy. Just want them to be happy. That is foolish. Again, church, I just want to remind us this morning that God isn't interested in your happiness. He's interested in something that's way more important. He's interested in your holiness. You see, holiness will last for eternity. Holiness can grant you something way more stable than happiness. It grants you more carious. It grants you fulfillment. It grants you joy. It grants you peace. But far too often, even in the church, we settle for less, and we just want to be happy. It makes me sad. Because if happiness is your goal, you'll find out pretty quickly that happiness is fickle. And when holiness is your goal, you actually get to work on things that have substance and will echo through eternity. Romans 1, 24, 25, therefore God gave them over. Listen to this. God gave them over in their sinful desires and their hearts of sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. This is what blows my mind. I see it in culture, but I see it bleeding into the church, that there are many who want to worship the created instead of the Creator, because I just need to be happy. So we're found pleasing self and settling for less than the best. And when we do that, church, when we get involved in that kind of activity, I want you to know that that's when you reject God. Think about that statement. That's when we reject God. You see, God can't kind of have your heart. Either he has it or he doesn't. And again, he isn't looking for part-time believers. Those are called fans, not followers. Right? That's why I can be so mad at the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, right? Because I'm simply a fan, and they didn't produce. They haven't produced ever. Can I talk about that? In my lifetime, they still haven't produced. And I'm so fearful, because the minute I let go of them, they're going to produce. And I'll look like a hypocrite. And so I hold on, and it's not easy. It's not healthy. It's not good. But that's a fan. Jesus is looking for followers. See, God dreams for much more for his kids. He doesn't want you to remain broken and to live broken. So listen to this passage and think about marriage vows, okay? Why do we take marriage seriously? Why does Jesus take marriage seriously? Think about this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 8. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as he told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but you reject God, the very God who gives us the Holy Spirit. That's heavy, church. You see, when you try to fulfill God-given desires without God, you reject him. You reject him. You do it on your own. And again, so let's put it in context. You know what? Sex isn't a sin. That's a gift from the Creator. It becomes sin when we leave him out. Marriage isn't sin. It's a gift from the Creator, but it can become sin when we leave him out of it. Jesus says you don't really need oaths at all, because promises are a gift from the Creator, and you're to live what you say just as your Father does. So, church, I want us to dig deeper in this thought, right? To put on our big boy pants. Your actions are one thing, but Jesus says, let's take a look at the heart and the soul. Let's go a whole other level deeper. You and I have been given a better way. Are you living it? So, church, this is what I want us to consider today. What's inside of you? What's inside of you? Jesus said, if there's anything that's leading to ruin, cut it out. It's better to enter heaven in pieces than to lose the one that you were made for. Intimacy with God, it's yours if you want it. It waits for you. Don't settle for less. You know, most of what is wrong with our earthly marriages is a lack of intimacy with God. That's why our earthly marriages don't last, because you're not intimate with God. If you were intimate with God, you'd be intimate with each other, because you'd have the perfect example teaching you and leading the way. So intimacy with God, think about this, church. It only amplifies and enhances your intimacy with your spouse. Therefore, you would have a healthy relationship that would last lifelong and would echo in eternity, even though you're not married in eternity, because all of a sudden the bridegroom and the bride come together, but we'll be recognizable, we'll know each other, and I get to spend eternity with my very best buddy. And I get to have a crazy adventure here along the way. All because we look after our intimacy with God. So we're looking after our intimacy with each other. Guard what's inward. Protect what's inward. It's not just your actions. It starts with the thoughts that drag you away. Guard yourself. Don't settle for less. Think about this verse. Everybody close your eyes. Whew. I've had to move because I knew I had way too much this morning. I haven't been nearly as funny. I'm sorry. It's not really funny anyway when we're talking about adultery. I just want to read this verse to you, church, and I want you to get it, so I don't want you to be distracted. Just close your eyes. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let me read it one more time. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What's on the inside, church? Because if it's not truth, Jesus is saying, cut it out. Get rid of it. Did Jesus respect sex and marriage, and did he understand the beauty of living what you say? You better believe he did. You know, he gave that caution, it's better to enter heaven in pieces than to go to hell whole. Wow. Wow. This was a high priority to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is it a high priority to you? I hope so. Let's pray. Lord, I understand that the enemy wants nothing more than our marriages to fall apart. I understand that the enemy wants nothing more than our families to be ripped and torn apart. Lord, I understand that the enemy wants nothing more than for secrets and lies to be about our lives. But Father God, you showed us a better way. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm asking right now that you would help us to chase that. That we would love you enough to be obedient. And that you, Jesus, would be greater than everything else. Everything else. Would you be greater? Thank you for this great plan. Would all of your desires be fulfilled in you? In Jesus' name, amen.